I'm going to need your help for the start of our message this morning. We need to answer a question. The question that I need you to answer is, what evidence do you have that someone loves you? And to help you think of answers to that question, you can answer any of these questions. How does a parent demonstrate his love for his children, for his child or her child? How does a mom express her love for her daughter or her son? How does a father express his love for his son or for his daughter? You can even answer the question, how does a son or daughter express his or her love for mom or dad? Okay? Do you know what your assignment is? Is it clear? Please answer this question, and I recommend you write down your responses and be ready for me to call on you. Folks, this is an important exercise, okay? I'm not just playing games with you on this one. So much so that if Jesus were physically here standing by me, he would say to you, Pastor's right. You should do this exercise. This is going to be good, okay? So take this question seriously, think seriously, and go to work. Okay, let's look at my list. Spends time with me, listens to me, likes something about me, gives me gifts occasionally or regularly that I need or want. Could probably even say that I might not need or want. Includes me in special events or outings, disciplines me or corrects me gently, challenges me to do better or work harder, initiates getting together, makes appointments or asks me out for dates, stops what he's doing to help me, willingly adjusts his schedule to make time for me, laughs with me, cries with me, hopes with me and dreams with me, prays with me and for me, wants Christ to be the center and circumference of my life, wants me to obey Christ at all times, wants the fruit of the Spirit to be produced in my life, wants me to love God with all my heart, soul, and strength, wants me to have friends who love Jesus, wants me to have friends who don't yet love Jesus, walks with me, talks with me, shares his hopes and dreams with me, says good things about me, promotes me, brags about me to others, tells me the truth, is honest, even when it might be painful to hear, doesn't spread falsehoods or hurtful stories about me to others, knows what's best for me, wants what's best for me, encourages me, cheers me on to success, applauds me when I succeed, comforts me in my times of discouragement, loss, and failure, thinks about me, and I find that out by a phone call or a card or a gift he gives me, is willing to forgive me, is gentle with me, smiles in my presence, protects me from physical harm, from sinful behaviors or activities, from dangers, from unwanted advances, from a selfish or evil person. As my friend, keeps his integrity, maintains his good name, behaves honorably, makes me proud, obeys me, does what I ask in a timely and pleasant manner. That's not just for children, by the way. Respects and honors me, makes me promises and keeps his promises, makes his plans with me in mind, asks for my help, helps me feel like I'm his partner. And as you fully realize, this list could go on with many more evidences of a person's love for another person. And if you are blessed with someone who is treating you this way, you know how rich you are. Such a friend is priceless, more precious than gold. So who do you know that loves you like this list? Who does all these things? Who is it in your life that loves you like this? Do you have someone like this in mind? Do you know that Jesus Christ loves you like this? That He spends time with you, He listens to you, He likes you, He gives gifts to you regularly. He includes you in His mission, He disciplines you gently, challenges you, initiates getting together with you. I'm talking about Jesus. I'm not sure that He stops what He's doing to help you, but He does help you and makes you feel like He has stopped everything else to help you. He laughs with you. He cries with you. Hopes and dreams with you. I'm talking about Jesus, your friend who loves you. He prays with you and for you. He longs to be at the center and circumference of your life, to have the fruit of His Spirit produced in your life. He deeply wants you to love God with all your heart and soul and strength. He wants you to have friends who love Him and friends who will soon come to love Him because of your friendship. I'm talking about Jesus. He walks with you and talks with you. He shares His hopes and dreams with you. He says good things about you and promotes you to others. He tells you the truth and is honest with you. He certainly does not spread falsehoods or hurtful stories about you to others. I'm talking about Jesus, your friend who loves you. He knows what's best for you and passionately wants you moving towards the best. He encourages you and cheers you on to success. He comforts you in times of discouragement, loss, and failure. He's thinking about you at all times. I'm talking about Jesus. His offer of forgiveness is always extended to you. He is gentle with you. He protects you. He maintains His good name and never gives you reason to be ashamed of Him. He makes you proud to be His friend. I'm talking about Jesus, your friend who loves you. He responds to your requests. He answers your prayers. He shows you respect and honor. He keeps His promises to you. He makes plans with you in mind. He even asks you to participate in His plans and helps you feel like His partner. There is no friend who loves you as completely as Jesus does. Jesus has set the highest possible standard for how people love. And yet He calls on us to love like He loves. And isn't it interesting that when we did this assignment of answering the question, what evidence do you have that someone loves you? We found ourselves describing Jesus. We found ourselves describing His relationship with us. You see, God has given us a taste of His love by giving us friends. Friends who fulfill in part the love that Christ has for us. You see, any good friend that we have points to Jesus. Your best friend is a pointer. He points to Jesus. Listen to David speak of God's love for him, how God showed His love for David. In Psalm 139, David writes, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know this full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O Lord! How vast is the sum of them! Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you." See, God is always thinking about each of us with loving thoughts and plans. He has made us with purpose and for a purpose, to team up with Him in order to gratefully enjoy His glory. In Psalm 16, David tells us more ways he is loved by the Lord. "Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because You will not abandon me to the grave, nor will You let Your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in Your presence, with eternal pleasures at Your right hand. Our most important response to God is to come to Him, to say yes to His invitation, to be attached to Him like a vine is attached to the vine trunk. It is this that brings us to our text in John 15. Our focus is on verses 12 through 17, but we must keep in mind the context. Jesus is building on His instructions from verses 1 through 11, as well as His teachings from John 13 and 14 about washing one another's feet, about loving each other, about being the way to the place that He's preparing for us, and His promise of the Holy Spirit who will come and be our constant companion and counselor. One of the first things that you notice about the structure of verses 12 through 17, as Dan Schuffelbein has already told us, are the bookend commands. Verses 12 and 17 start and end this paragraph. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. And 17, this is my command: love each other. It's a classic statement and restatement of the major point a speaker is trying to make. So in all of our analysis of this paragraph, we must not miss that Jesus is giving us a command. The disciples are to love each other. Now, please do not dismiss this command from Jesus as only being given to His 11 disciples. No, this command is directed at all of Christ's disciples for all ages. Jesus is commanding me, and I've stood rebuked and guilty of failing this command even in the last 24 hours, maybe even in the last 12. He is commanding each of you that we are to love each other. Jesus clarifies what He means by this command in two ways in verse 12. First, and the most obvious, He says, love each other. Seems simple enough. For those disciples, all they needed to do was think back to all the ways that Jesus had demonstrated His love for them. They could make a list many times longer than the one we have made about how we know when we are loved by someone. So, there's no lack of understanding what Jesus was saying when Jesus said, think back to how I've loved you these past 2 years. Now, love each other that way. But there's another clarifier of what Jesus means when He says to love each other, and it's the word that He uses for love. It's agape. It's the highest expression of love. It indicates the direction of a person's will that seeks to find one's joy in bringing joy to another person. Agapic love seeks the highest good for another person. Therefore, by example and by definition, Jesus commands His disciples, including us, to turn our wills in the direction of seeking the highest good for other people and to find our joy in living that way. That is Christ's command for us. The list we created of evidences of a person's love for us need to be our actions toward an identifiable group of people. The people who make up that group start in our homes, our spouse, our children, our parents, our brothers and sisters, and then it fans out from there. Jesus demonstrated His love for specific people, people with names and addresses: Peter, John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas son of James. We even saw in John 13:14, when did Judas Iscariot leave? Before 14. He even demonstrated his love for Judas Iscariot. So he commands us to show that same love for a multiple number of specific people. Jesus says, love each other as I have loved you. Now we know what that love looks like. We have a pretty clear idea who the first people who should be receiving our love are. But we may be wondering, how do we do it? How do we overcome the obstacles that prevent us or hinder us from actually loving those persons God has placed in our lives? What gets us to actually obey the command to love each other? Well, just before Jesus gave the command to love each other, he gave a prior command that makes the keeping of the second command possible. So drop back to verses 9 through 11. It says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now, remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. So, the first answer to our question, Jesus tells us to remain in his love. And by doing so, he becomes the source for our love for others. We are to stay attached to him like a branch to the vine. We are to remain in his love, the love that he's having for us. If we stay attached to him by obeying his commands, then his Father will function as the gardener and make us fruitful. He will make us productive for his glory. And how does a vine become productive? Its branches must be pruned back. And when it is correctly pruned, those branches produce even better fruit. So staying attached to Jesus enables us to love others because we are living in Jesus' love and because our Heavenly Father loves us enough to prune us. And did you notice the amazing description of how Jesus is loving us in verse 11? Jesus is finding his joy from helping us gain joy and experience that joy to its fullest. Do you see the direction of our Lord's will? It is in seeking our highest good and helping us live to the fullness of his joy. Jesus is equivalent to agape. Do you remember the promise in verse 5? He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. And certainly the fruit that we bear as a result of remaining attached to Christ is agape. See, love is the sum of the fruit that is grown on the branches that are attached to Jesus. Therefore, prerequisite to obeying this second command of Jesus to love the people in our sphere of influence is that we must continue to receive Christ's love by living in and obeying God's word and welcoming the pruning action of our Father. Now let me illustrate something for you. Here is our plum tree. It's right out there to the west of us. And you can visit that plum tree on your way to your car as you leave church today. What is the first thing that comes to your mind when you see this plum tree? Needs to be pruned. Another way of saying that, it has no active gardener. Now, really, this is not a plug for one of the jobs that we're looking for, though you can take it that way, I guess. Do you see the evidence of years of neglect? It has not been pruned regularly. Instead, the suckers are stealing the fruit-bearing life out of that tree. Just look at all those sucker branches. Ha! They're more than a year old, too. This tree highlights how important it is for us, as branches attached to Christ, to welcome the pruning action of our Heavenly Father, so that the life-draining stuff in our lives, the sucker branches, can be removed. Now, I suspect there are several of us in this room who have resisted the pruning that our Father wants to do in our lives. And what evidence do I have? Whenever our calendars or our schedules are so full that we cannot obey the commands of Christ, we are resisting His pruning. We have allowed the suckers to grow, to make us too busy or to become too distracted, and we are not bearing the fruit that God wants to produce through us. And some of us have become hooked on time and money-consuming activities that lead us to the conclusion that we simply don't have time to meet with God daily, or the money to give to His ministries. See, those activities have become like suckers on the branches that diminish our fruit. If we are going to bear the fruit of love for our brothers and sisters in Christ and for our family members, it must be our top priority to stay intimately attached to our Lord Jesus Christ and allow our Heavenly Father to prune us regularly. I'm not making this up. You can find it in the same text that I'm finding this in. So what gets us to actually obey the command to love each other? Jesus also says that we're going to have to deal with the price tag. Yes, there is a cost to loving people. We have to be willing to make sacrifices in order to love as Jesus loved. Jesus says, greater love has no one than this, that He lay down His life for His friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. Jesus loved us sacrificially, even to the point of giving His life for us. Certainly then, to obey His commands as friends of Jesus, we will make personal sacrifices. And those sacrificial actions are among those already listed on the evidence of being loved by someone. Third, I find the next comments by Jesus in verses 15 and 16 that He tucked within the bookends of the command to love each other to be very instructive in helping us love others. Listen to His argument and think about how this answers the question, what gets us to actually obey the command to love each other? He says, I no longer call you servants, because a servant doesn't know what his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. So what's the difference, according to Jesus, between a servant and a friend? Isn't it what the servant knows about his master's business? Jesus said a servant doesn't know his master's business. He doesn't know his purposes, his mission. He probably doesn't know the desire and dreams of his master. He only knows the assignment the master gives him. But a friend knows everything about his master's business. A friend knows his master's purposes, his desires, his goals. It's almost like being a partner in the business with his master. So how does this distinction help us love each other? Precisely because now we know what our Lord's desires are for other people. We know that He wants His disciples to live pure and righteous lives. We know that He wants His disciples to abide in Him and live in His joy. We know that He wants His disciples to defeat the schemes and deceptions of our enemy. As Christ's friends, He has shared with us His heart for people. And we know His desires. And because of that, our Lord can entrust to us, His friends, the promise that the Father will give us whatever we ask in Jesus' name. See, Jesus knows that we are like His partners who want to fulfill our calling to go and bear fruit for God's glory. That whatever we ask of the Father will be for that end, for that purpose. So the third way that actually gets us to love each other is by praying for the fulfillment of specific desires that Jesus has for specific friends of ours. It may be one of the most effective ways that we have to love someone, by praying for them with specific objectives. It's another way of saying pray for others out of Scripture. When you see something that says this is the Lord's desire for you, pray that for yourself, for someone else. Now the fourth answer to the question, what gets us to actually obey the command to love each other, comes by way of extrapolation and observation. Jesus was speaking to a relatively small group of His disciples when He gave this command. So their immediate application would be that to each of these disciples, they would each love 10 other men. But even that is a tall order when we consider the amount of time it takes to love someone the way Christ loves us. Somehow, we need to leave here this morning with a doable assignment from the Lord. We know we are to love each other. We know that our immediate family is going to be the first and the best to take our time. But when Jesus spoke to His 11 disciples, He was speaking to multiple family groups. He was speaking to the foundation of the church that would get its start in about 50 days. Just as Jesus multiplied His love by loving His disciples, so the disciples were to multiply Christ's love by loving each other, their families, and those outside their families. Therefore, if we are going to actually obey this command from Jesus, we need to identify who it is that we're going to love, write down their names, and after you've listed your family, you need to include at least one person from your church family. Why is that, you ask? Well, I know that there are some in our church family who would greatly benefit from having a faithful friend who would show Christ's love to them consistently over an extended period of time. Some of those would respond to a personal invitation to join you in a home fellowship Bible study. Some would welcome an invitation to share a meal, to get acquainted, and to chart out some ways that you could mutually encourage each other in your walk with Christ. In other words, there are folks, even in this room, who need the love that you could give if you obey this command. So folks, before you leave this room this morning, would you please resolve that you will take seriously Christ's to love each other. Stay attached to Jesus. Make sacrifices to love. Pray specifically for specific friends. And include someone from your church family in those you love.